Prayer request at the end. I usually do it at the beginning, but hey, I forgot. So we're going to go ahead and get started. Turn to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. I do have a story to tell, but we'll probably wait till the morning service on that. We are very fortunate to be here. That's the story. And it is an amazing God thing, but we'll get on that a little bit later. In Acts chapter 13, I want to finish chapter 13 up, Lord willing, and we're in verse 47. So it's Acts chapter 13, verse 47. He says in 46, "Lo, we turn to the Gentiles, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." And the Bible says, "And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region." So, you know, there's some really unusual things in here. It talks about those that are ordained to eternal life, and, you know, you've got the Calvinist who will tell you that, you know, there's some that are ordained to eternal life, there are some that are otherwise. They won't say ordained to hell, but basically that's it. You know, when you're born, you're either the elect or you're not. I mean, can you imagine a God that would do that? Then He'd hold you accountable for what you do, but you have no free will. It just doesn't make sense. You have a free will. Adam and Eve in the garden, what's the story about? Free will. That's it. The gist of the story is free will, obey God, one commandment, disobeyed. Your free will is what caused you to do that and how it worked out. So it goes not just with Adam and Eve, but it goes through all generations. Every generation has a free will to choose whether to accept or reject Christ. The problem you have, and most people don't understand it, is if you don't accept Him, you have rejected Him. Because you're already under the condemnation, and that condemnation is you're a sinner, you need a Savior, you must accept the Savior in order to have your sins forgiven. That's John chapter 3. We're condemned already because we haven't believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Very simple, very straightforward, very truthful and impacting, that if you don't get that, you don't get anything as far as your understanding goes. So when you're looking at this, I don't want to get ahead of myself because I want to go back to verse 47. "For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." So we're set to be a light unto the Gentiles. Paul mentions he was set to be a light unto the Gentiles, and there's some, you know, he's the apostle of Gentiles. I get all that. I studied all that. I was taught all that. I wrote about all that. I've preached about all that. But the problem is you can't be hyper-dispensational. You can't look at the Bible and say, well, the Gentiles are plan B. In other words, if the Jews would have accepted Christ, would the church age ever started, and all these hypotheticals, and even teaching that, well, they rejected the Messiah, and therefore this was the result. Do you think maybe God already knew that? And in other words, there is no plan B. The plan always was to have the church age. The idea that God somehow was surprised by Israel's rejection is ludicrous. He isn't surprised by what they did. Here in Acts chapter 13 in Asia Minor, they rejected and God broke them off. Romans chapter 11, that's what the Bible says. They are broken off and we are grafted in, the Gentiles are. But that isn't because God somehow didn't quite figure out what the Gentiles were or what the Jews were going to do. He knew all along. And he knew that this nation that was a peculiar people, they dressed different, they ate different, they talked different, they worshiped different. They were the only nation on earth where God came to and gave them a set of rules and a set of laws and said, this is what I want you to do to be a witness to all nations. What did they do? Well, they became exclusive. We're the Jew, we're better than you. We're the Jew, we're not out proselytizing. We're not out trying to convert the world to God. And yes, they went into nations and they destroyed the nations. Why did they destroy the nations? Because they had other gods. And those nations that had other gods would have perverted the ways of God. And God said, you'll have nothing to do with it. If you take their gods and you assimilate them in like some religions do, they'll go into a nation and they'll say, oh, you worship this. Well, here's another one for you to worship. And they'll put up this this statue to this other one and say, listen, you've got that one and that one and that one. Let's put this one in here. That isn't the way God works. It's an exclusive thing. You either worship God and serve Him, or you don't understand what Christianity is all about. It's not a hodgepodge of pick and choose. It's not cafeteria Christianity. It's Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father by me. There is no, well, you know, I can go halfway. No, it's Jesus or none. It's all Jesus or it doesn't work. And that's what we have to understand. And that's why when we're talking to people, you know, sometimes they don't understand that. And it's our responsibility to try to make them aware of that. That it's Jesus Christ and Him alone that's the Savior of the world. We're not picking and choosing. So he says, you're a light unto the Gentiles. Jesus said when He was here, He says, I am the light. Then He tells the apostles, the disciples, and He tells them, listen, you're a light, shine. I'm leaving, you're going to be the only light people see. The only way people see the light of Jesus is through the light of a Christian. And that's important to understand. You are the light of the world. So this whole context here is a little bit different because it's talking about, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. You see, Israel didn't do their job. Israel did not evangelize unto the ends of the earth. Israel did not try to get people to understand who and what God is. That He is the Savior. That He is the one that they need to worship and serve and accept. All right, so let's look at this thing. I want to run a couple of references. I want to run Isaiah 49, verse 6. Let me show you that this thing about the Gentiles that is quoted right here comes from the Old Testament. So the Gentiles can't be plan B. And that's what's so frustrating when you study dispensational writings, and my writings too in the early part, because that's what I was taught. I was taught to be a hyper-dispensationalist. I was taught, you know, Paul's the apostle of Gentiles, and Peter, you know, he's just confused. Well, in Luke 24, Peter's given the truth about the death, burial, and resurrection, as is all the apostles. He understands that in Acts chapter 2, he's not preaching a different way of salvation. He's not saying, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and that's salvation. He's talking to some saved people that had already been convicted. Their heart had already been pricked. They'd already reacted to the message of the death, burial, and resurrection. They'd already accepted Christ. They said, hey, what do we need to do? All right, well now, follow the Lord and believer's baptism. That's what Acts 2:38 is. It's believer's baptism. It's not baptismal regeneration like some of the brethren teach. Unfortunately, that's the way it's read. Oh, you'll get the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, the gift of the Holy Ghost is assurance of salvation. That's what it's all about. In Acts, you have the gift of the Holy Ghost, Acts chapter 10, showing that those Gentiles that got saved spoke in tongues as a witness to those Jews who require a sign. How do they know that the Gentiles got saved? God gave a miracle, a sign, a wonder to those Jews so they would understand. Listen, God is now starting to turn to the Gentiles. And He starts it in Acts 9, Paul's saved. Acts 10, Peter goes to Cornelius, and that thing's going on. And then you see it all the way through. They go in the synagogue first, Jew first, and then they say, lo, you're not going to accept it. We turn to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles will hear, they will accept. And if you look at it today, that's why today the Jews are still in blindness, but the Gentile nations, America, England, and you could go on and on and on, those Gentile nations are the ones that are evangelizing the world. It's not the Jewish nation. So when you look at Acts 49, look at verse 6. I'm sorry, Isaiah 49, verse 6. There are not 49 chapters in Acts. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob, to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. In Isaiah 49, verse 6, now look at verse 7. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of the rulers, kings shall see and arise, and princes also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Nation of Israel is the chosen nation. What are they supposed to do? Go to the ends of the world, it says there, and evangelize. They didn't do it, so what do you read in Acts 13? God saved a man named Saul, whose name is Paul. Paul is the one now that God's going to use really to get to the Gentiles. Amen, glory, hallelujah, that's the truth. Look at another passage. Look at Isaiah 42. Go back a couple of chapters. Isaiah 42. Look at verse 6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. And he said, look, you don't have graven images down here that you put up in your yard, you wear around your neck, or you bow down and worship, or you kiss. The Bible rebukes that in the Ten Commandments, which are changed in some versions of the Bible. About graven images, that is changed and taken out of many of the versions because there's religions that teach that those graven images are acceptable. You're to make no graven image of things in heaven and earth. Or listen, don't make a graven image of me. I'm not really that worried about it. But don't dare make a graven image of anybody. I don't care how great they are. You don't do it. There's not even Jesus, when he came, I believe Jesus changed his looks in order that when people saw him, they would wonder, is this him? Well, when we broke bread, our hearts burned within us. Of course it was Jesus. How did they know? Not by the way he looked, but by what he did. And see, that's what's important. So somebody say, well, what did he look like? One would say this, another would say this, another would say this. Well, let's draw a drawing what he looked like. It ain't going to work. Why? Because I believe he changed his appearance for that very thing not to happen. And the appearances you have now with the effeminate Jesus, you know, pretty long hair, chances are he may not even have had long hair. A man that hath long hair, it's a shame unto him. There is nothing in the Bible that says he had long hair. So why are all the images that way? Well, they got the beard and the blue eyes and he's blonde hair. And he was a Jew. You know what he looked like? He looked like a carpenter. There was no beauty in him that we would desire him, the Bible says. So why do we have all these images of him? Because that's what the devil wants. The devil wants you focused on the image rather than focused on the man. The devil wants you focused on the graven image rather than focused on who and what he is and how he was the Savior of the world. And anything that gets your eyes off the fact that he's the Savior is not of God. He's the Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer. He's all those things. Go ahead and look at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, talking about this light. Luke chapter 2, look at verse 30. Jesus is now on earth. He's been born. Verse 30. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. So were the Gentiles a second thought? Can't be. Oh, the Apostle Paul was saved to be the Apostle of the Gentiles? Yes, because Peter wasn't really qualified. You know, Peter, whenever he was fellowshipping with the Gentiles and James came and others came from Jerusalem, what did he do? I don't know those guys. No, I didn't eat with them. You see, Peter had this problem that God said, I need a guy like Paul who I save on the road to Damascus. He drops to his feet. He's blinded for 3 days. He realized that he'd been persecuting Christians, killing Christians, causing them to blaspheme, putting them to death. And now I'm going to save him. He's going to be the one that I choose to go to the Gentiles. Why? I can't use Peter. I can't use him in that capacity. Some people say, oh, well, he had to save somebody new because, oh, those didn't understand. And I believe they understood. Just like here in Luke chapter 2, are you kidding me? They knew all the way when Jesus was born that the Gentiles were going to be a light. We're going to see the light. It just was God's plan to do it this way. Look at another verse. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Talking about that light again. Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 8. Ephesians 5, 8, the Bible says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You were sometimes darkness. Now you're light. Walk as children of light. Walk as though you have the light. The light is real. And you've seen the light. Jesus Christ is the light. You've seen the light. Now walk as children of light. That's how we're supposed to walk. When people look at us, and again, our story about the plane, I mean, we sat next to a guy, and you know, he's from the Philippines. I said, oh yeah, I go to Cebu. He says, I'm from Cebu. I'm flying in there tonight. Actually, the next morning, but he's probably getting there soon now. And man, I couldn't charge my phone on the plane, and oh well, you know, I got a battery pack up there, and they never would turn off the seatbelt. He says, hey, can I get something out of my luggage? He gets up there and he gets it out. I plug it in. I get to 80% when we land, because I'm like, I gotta have phone, and my phone's gonna die, and I don't have time to plug it in because things are going on, which I'll tell you a little bit about later. But I mean, God just works that thing out. So you know what? I gave him my business card. And I'm not talking to him much because I'm actually praying the whole time on that flight. And I'm looking outside and there's this storm and lightning coming down. Judy says, is that lightning? I said, yeah. And I'm sitting there looking out the window. And you know what I'm saying? I may miss my next flight. I'm looking out the window and I'm saying, Lord, it was worth it just to watch this because I've never seen it from this eye. You're talking about being in a jet and you can see the whole area and it just, man, it was the most amazing thing. And I'm sitting here just praising God saying, hey, and I'm like, I got to make the next flight, Lord. You know, but you know what, Lord, if you don't want me to make it, I thank you for this. That's what I resigned myself. I was blessed in a hard situation because I looked for the blessing. And the blessing was, look outside and see God. I'm a cloud person, you know that. So now, it ain't the cloud, I mean, it's the clouds, but they're, you know, it's just dark out there. And then all of a sudden, you say, were you scared? Oh no, it was several hundred miles away, likely. I mean, it was way out there. It wouldn't have been scared. I mean, it wouldn't have been too cool. We did land pretty hard, didn't we? That's the hardest landing I've ever had. It was like, boom, boom. And I'm usually sitting by the window, except the lady stole her seat. We were a little late getting on the plane. And I looked at her and I said, hey, you can have the window. She's wearing a mask. You want the window? I said, oh, no. I'm just glad to be on this flight. I'm just glad to be here. And I sat in the middle aisle. I never sit in the middle aisle. I'm always by the window. But I'm looking at it. I am just happy to be on the plane. We were blessed. I mean, listen, it is a miracle what God did. You know, I told you about the two trucks that jackknife. That is the greatest thing I've seen in God working out. When we just drove right around them and they were jackknife and moving us into the wall and then they stopped. The second greatest one in my life right now is last night. There's no way we're supposed to be on that plane. We were going to be able to be on that plane. No way! And they're closing the door. They're closing the door, and they don't even scan our pass. What's your name? Stauffer. I got to give that guy a tip. Oh, no, no, no. I said, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The guy that drove us there, we got on a tram. But anyway, I don't want to tell the story this morning. I'll tell a little bit later. But it is amazing what God does. When you look at the light, you're to be the light. Be a light all the time. Figure out how to be a brighter light. Figure out how to put a smile on your face and have people ask you, what is it that makes you different? I just got a text this morning. They want me to pray the invocation before the new mural in Niceville tomorrow at 11 o'clock. I mean, they want me to do the invocation when they did the historical markers 2 weeks ago. I did the invocation at the canine thing. Why? Because I show myself as a light and people are attracted to the light and say, hey, we want you involved in this. I'm not telling you to look at me. I'm the example. I want you to look at me today and go, wow, it's amazing you're even here. Because I'm going to tell you a story that it is amazing what God worked out. Poor little Judy, those legs running through the airport. That's another. I just wanted to leave you with that last picture. Poor thing's hurting this morning, though. I did get her a ride. And now, why was the guy sitting there in the tram? God had him waiting for us. I mean, but anyway, I'm telling you little bits and pieces to savor your appetite. I really need to get back here because I want to do some. I want to get to that Calvinist stuff. So we're the light, and the Gentiles aren't plan B. Those are the two things I wanted you to see so far. Verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, Heard what? Heard the message that God was going to, you know, that this thing was the salvation under the ends of the earth. When they heard this, they were glad and they glorified Paul and everybody else. No, they glorified the word of the Lord. You know what I want you to do? I want you to glorify the word of the Lord. I want you to glorify the word of the Lord, knowing that it's the word of the Lord that's important this morning. It's not what I say. It's not, you know, my pieces that I put in. It's how does it teach you the Bible? How does it encourage you in the Scripture? How does it change your life? That's what it's about. That's what all this is about, is how does the Word of the Lord change you? You know what they did? They glorified the Word of the Lord. So glorify the Word of the Lord. That doesn't mean that, you know, I heard there's pastor appreciation today, which was going to be really, really funny because I wasn't going to be here. and I called Robert. I said, hey, I'm not going to make it. I mean, the numbers just don't work out. I said, so you got to be prepared. I said, when Tim comes in, you can ask if he wants to do Sunday school. I said, but the numbers aren't there. And it's not like I didn't have faith. It's just when you land and the other plane has already completely boarded, it's not going to work. They don't. And you have people on standby. I'm going, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. They gave my seats, our seats, to somebody else on standby. The plane we left, the first one in Arkansas, it had 20 people on standby. I'm just looking at those. I go, oh, yeah, there's the standby. That's why they ain't going to hold up this plane for us. Guess what? There were two seats left on that second plane. Now, they weren't actually my seats because I wasn't by the window, but that's okay. Man, blessed, okay? So let's go back, and it says, and as many, verse 40, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Boy, does that sound like you're ordained to eternal life, and therefore you believe. That's not what it says. That's not what it says. I want to give you a couple of points. Both Jews and Gentiles were ordained to eternal life. One group believed and one didn't. That's simple. Everybody is ordained to eternal life. The Jews judged themselves unworthy of everlasting life. They died in their sins if they didn't accept the Lord. Where is that? that's in... look at verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should have first have been spoken to you. Why? You don't have any choice, but we're going to speak it to you, and then God's going to judge you for doing what he's causing you to do, if that's Calvinism. See how it doesn't work? But it doesn't say that. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. They judge themselves unworthy of everlasting life. Those that were ordained to eternal life believed. But it wasn't that some are chosen to get saved and some are chosen to go to hell. That's not what the Bible teaches. And it's important to understand that. So we'll define it. The Gentiles chose to believe. And it wasn't because the Jews couldn't, it was because they wouldn't. That is the most important point you can get out of it. Now, let's run a couple of references. Look at 1 Kings 12:32. Because I need to define this. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 32 gives a good definition. Now ordained has many definitions. Look at verse 32. The Bible says, "And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month." What does it mean, he ordained a feast? He prepared a feast. So that's one of the definitions of ordained, to prepare. So what's the Bible say? As many as were ordained, prepared. As many as were ordained to eternal life, believed. If you're not prepared, you come in and you go, I reject God, I reject the gospel, I reject Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was just a good man. You know what? You're not ordained to eternal life. You're not prepared. Your heart's wrong. So then you get convicted and you realize Jesus is the Savior. Your heart's prepared. Your heart's ordained. And then you believe. And that's what it's talking. And listen, I could go through and I could go to Numbers 28:6, Psalm 8, verses 2 and 3, Galatians 3:19, 1 Corinthians 2:7, 1 Corinthians 7:17. Let's do this. Let's stay in the New Testament and go to Galatians 3:19. We're looking at ordained. Galatians 3:19. The Bible says here, it says, "Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator." Ordained by angels. What does that mean? Established. It was established, ordained by angels. So, as many as were ordained to eternal life, established, prepared. You see, the definition isn't God ordained you, and if you aren't ordained from the foundation of the world, you know, then you're going to hell. No, it all has to do with the preparation of the heart. It all has to do with the establishing of the heart. That's what it's all about. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory." He ordained it. He decreed it. See, that's a little different. So you have so many different definitions. We'll look at chapter 7, verse 17, 1 Corinthians. "But as God hath distributed every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let them walk, and so ordain I in all the churches." He decreed it in all the churches. So when you're looking at ordain, there are many different definitions for it, but you don't just put in there and go, oh, he's decreed that you would have eternal life and that you have no choice. Then that contradicts so many scriptures. So I just gave you another definition. That is the only definition that those that are trying to unintentionally twisting the scripture are causing people to believe that, listen, you are either saved or lost at birth and you have no choice. Well then look, why do we need to evangelize? If all of it's fixed, then why does Paul say, "I'm free from the blood of all men because I've ceased not to preach the whole counsel of God"? Listen, if it doesn't matter, how's he going to judge you and me? You can't be judged if you have no choice. The only way you can be judged is if you have choice. You have a choice. Believe or reject. Believe or stay condemned. So going back to... I tell you what, let's run a couple more references. Look at John, the book of John, chapter 6. Let me show you how this works with those that are confused. John 6, verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. So that sounds like, well, wait a minute, you can't come to Jesus unless the Father draws you. And we've already looked at this when we went through John, but I'm going to give you the solution here because that sounds the same way. Well, if God doesn't draw you, you can't come. That's true. So let's look at John chapter 12, verse 32. The Bible says, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. So if I'm put on the cross, if I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And if the Father doesn't draw you, you can't be saved. Well, the point is, everybody's drawn. That's what it says. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. There, you talk about Jesus, and you know, he died on the cross. He's a witness. By the way, God gives witness of Himself in the rain, the crops, people's joy. That is God's witness. So let's wrap up this part of Acts. Look at Romans chapter 3. I can't quit yet. Romans chapter 3. Let me solve it with this one verse. Let's make it two verses. We'll start in verse 21. Here, now watch very carefully. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What does it say right there? It's unto who? All. Who's it upon? Those that believe. It's unto all. Everybody's included in that. But it takes belief in order for you to get saved. So when you're reading this and it says, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Oh my gosh, that sounds like, you know, we're predestined. That sounds like that teaching that the preacher says isn't good or isn't right. Listen, it does sound like that. Why do you think it's out there? Because people take scripture like this and they say, look at this one verse. Well, what about this one over here and this one here and this one here and this? Oh, no. Don't get confused by all that truth over there. Don't get confused. Oh, well, no. That contradicts what you're teaching. That disproves what you're teaching. What do I do? Believe the truth. Believe the truth. Listen, the reason you come to church is to be taught the Bible, to learn the Bible, to grow in grace. And then when you do, what you need to do is you need to glorify the word of the Lord. That's what you glorify. That's what it's all about. You say, well, I've never seen that before, or I have seen it, but I just didn't understand it. Or maybe you still don't understand it. You keep coming. And you keep coming, and you keep learning, and you keep growing. And then as the light begins to blossom more, you go, oh, yeah, I was taught that. That's not right. But this is true. Unto all, but only upon all them that believe. That settles it, should settle it for everybody. So let's go on to verse 50. But the Bible says, but the Jews stirred up. This is Acts chapter 13, verse 50. Well, 49. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Verse 50. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. They raised persecution and rejected the preaching. Now look, you know what I need to stir people up. I need to motivate people. If you're a preacher and you're a motivator, you miss something. It's easy to stir people up to do wrong. It's not easy to stir people up to do right. And that's unfortunate. But you know what we need to do? Stir each other up. Encourage each other. Help each other to see that, listen, what you're doing is important. You know, we need to figure out what this life is about. This life is you are created for God's pleasure. Find out what pleases Him and do it. That's the essence of life. In a nutshell, that's it. You know what pleases God? For you to accept Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. He says, I am not willing that any perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let's finish it out in verse 51. You know, it says, they shook off the dust of their feet against them, came unto Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Filled with joy and filled with the Holy Ghost. And they shook off the dust of their feet against them. And listen, it tells you that in Matthew 10:14, whosoever shall not receive you, shake off the dust. Tells you that in Mark chapter 6, verse 11, Luke 9, verse 5. Listen, it is not my responsibility to make people understand. I cannot make people believe. But I tell you what I can do. I cannot give up. Listen, if you get rejected, you just shake the dust off your feet and you go on to another place. I don't jam Christianity down people's throat. I tell you what I do. I know that I knew somebody was a Christian. I went to them. I asked them about Jesus Christ, and I ended up going to church, ended up getting saved. You better put yourself out as a Christian. And that's a whole other story yesterday, too. So let's go ahead and close here, and I'll go ahead and take some prayer requests. I know need to pray for Anita. I know she is out. I know Gary is out. I know... What? Oh, they're traveling. Okay. Can't remember, but I thought he said this morning he's not feeling well, too.